In the competitive gaming space, most scenes have super iconic moments that come to define what the games are all about. But when it comes to competitive Pokemon, these events aren't super well documented or known by the majority of players since many of them joined in 2020. So today, what I aim to do is present to you some of the most iconic moments in competitive Pokemon for you to tell your friends, family, or your date until they inevitably realize that you might be just a little too into Pokemon and keep you at an arm's distance from now on. Or maybe they show a genuine interest and you finally found the one. Either way, I'll still be here for you. At least until these videos stop making money, then you're on your own, dude. Anyways, if you enjoyed this video at any point in time, be sure to leave a like and subscribe. As a matter of fact, you should really just subscribe right now because I have a playlist full of content just like this that you can watch once this video ends. And if you think you're subscribed, do me a favor and double check because a lot of my viewers actually aren't. With that, let's get into the video. But not before I plug my YouTube channel memberships. If you click the join button, not only do you get access to bonus videos every week and access to my podcast with Jody Azzarelli, but you also can join my members-only Discord where we team build and discuss Pokemon broadly. You also get a badge by your name in the comments and in my live streams, and you get to see your name at the end of these videos. Lots of cool perks there, so consider supporting me with the channel membership. Now back to the video. Alright, for this video we'll be going in no particular order, but I tried to pull a few old moments as well as some modern examples. So let's just jump right in. I'm sure most people are aware that Ray Rizzo is a Pokemon World Champion. His long and storied career goes back to the early days of VGC, and we're forced to watch the battles from people's recordings of the screen at the event that they just upload to YouTube. While VGC in the early 2010s was certainly a smaller, more tight-knit community, it can't be overstated just how impressive it was for someone to win the World Championships not once, not twice, but three times. While a lot of the information from these older events is lost to time, the results are not. In 2010, Ray Rizzo traveled to Hawaii to compete in the World Championships. This format was pretty interesting as we haven't had this particular ruleset return since this year. This ruleset allowed for the teams to use up to 4 restricted legendary Pokemon, but you were only allowed to bring 2 of them to each battle. Ray opted to run a team of Groudon, Kyogre, Dialga, Cresselia, Hariyama, and Ludicolo for this event, making it sort of a soft Trick Room dual weather team. In 2011, he traveled to the World Championships in San Diego, California to compete, this time in Pokemon Black and White using a team of Thundurus, Gothitelle, Terrakion, Escavalier, Conkeldurr, and Hydreigon. And in 2012, Ray Rizzo managed to pull off the three-peat by returning to Hawaii and winning with a team of Garchomp, Rotom Wash, Metagross, Tyranitar, Hydreigon, and Cresselia, making Ray Rizzo the only person in the history of competitive Pokemon to win 3 World Championships back-to-back-to-back, a feat that we will likely never see again for as long as this game continues to be played, since the game's gotten so much bigger and we have so many more talented players. Jumping ahead to something very recent, we can observe just how far Pokemon has come, at least in terms of tournament registrations and how enjoyable of a viewing experience it can be. In the format of VGC 2025 Regulation H, the Pokemon Company decided it was time to have a format where all legendary Pokemon would be banned. Typically, this was limited to just banning box legends like Lugia or Zacian, but this time around, you couldn't even run something as weak as a Regice. This led to teams becoming less focused on immediate damage and becoming harder to break through. One of the Pokemon with the most powerful damage options in the game happens to be a Pokemon with a pretty unimpressive attack stat. Mousehold's stats on paper seem to leave a lot to be desired, but its access to great support tools as well as its good speed stat and pure normal typing led it to being a solid support Pokemon. That being said, it can shift gears on a dime and use its signature move of Population Bomb to absolutely obliterate a Pokemon. Nicolas Morales, in his first ever major Pokemon tournament, managed to make it to finals where he'd face off against Paul Chua, one of the most consistent players in the game with quite a lengthy career. Nicolas decided to run a team with a wide lens technician Mousehold with the move Pop Bomb. You see, Pop Bomb has just 20 base power, but it can hit up to 10 times if it manages to pass the 90% accuracy check that many times in a row. By giving Mousehold the ability Technician, this boosts the power of low power moves like Pop Bomb by 50%, and the wide lens increases the accuracy check to 99%, making it nearly guaranteed that Mousehold will be able to throw out 10 30 base power attacks out in a row. This is the single most powerful normal type attack in the game, even out damaging the move Explosion, which has only 250 base power. In Game 3 of their set, Nicolas threw away any pretense of using Mousehold to activate defense boosts on a partner Archaladon and just went for straight damage, using Mousehold to immediately knock out Paulchua's Dragonite and later on his Ninetales. This Pop Bomb play was so hyped that the entire audience in the venue started counting out each hit, hoping that he'd manage to connect all of them.
Yo! That could, and it's gonna be going after each of these hits!
Whoa. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine,
doesn't miss! 10 hits! What a start for Nicolas!
What's even funnier is that you can not only hear it on the VGC stream, but you can even hear it more clearly on the TCG stream, which is happening right next to the stage where Paul and Nicholas were playing.
Now for Emmett's. Still playing through this turn nice and steady, nice and slow. We got some crowd action out there as well, Kyle. I don't know what's going on, but it sounds exciting.
It's a lot of counting.
Yes.
Nicholas ended up taking the game and becoming one on a growing list of players to manage to win a regional championship on their first attempt. I'm sure you all know about this one. At the 2014 World Championships, Seijin Park brought a team with a very strange pick. He opted to run Pachirisu, not because it was his favorite Pokemon, but because it had great matchups into the Pokemon which were, at the time, some of the strongest in the metagame. This is by far the most iconic moment in competitive Pokemon, so rather than explain it myself, I brought in his opponent, Jody Azzarelli, who I just happen to be long-distance roommates with these days.
I still remember it. It was 11 years ago. Everyone was preparing for Zapdos. I, myself, realizing that everyone was preparing for Zapdos, used Rotom. Rotom Moe. I thought I was very smart. In comes this man, this gallant man from Korea, and he's using this Pachirisu, which just happens to be like a very unused Pokemon that solves most of the meta, right? Solved a lot of what people were expecting. A lot of people were bringing Zapdos, and Pachirisu walls Zapdos, and everybody just watched. Their Zapdos is in hand getting destroyed one by one. And I was there to play them in finals where, I mean, you guys have all seen it by now, right?
It's okay though. They're chill now. Here's them catching up with the 2024 World Championships. Very wholesome. In Pokemon, there's an ability called Prankster, which causes all status moves used by the Pokemon with the ability to have plus one priority. These tend to be strong support Pokemon, which can instantly taunt, paralyze, and burn opposing Pokemon, among other very annoying things. In Generation 7, this ability was nerfed by making it so Dark-type Pokemon were immune to any Prankster moves. Among the best Prankster Pokemon in Generation 7 was Whimsicott, who not only could set priority Tailwind, Taunt, and Encore, but had access to a very deadly combination. The move Nature Power turns into various moves depending on which terrain it's fighting on, and it is considered a status move. With the addition of Z-moves, Whimsicott was actually able to fire off a powerful priority Z-move of whatever terrain it happened to be on due to having Nature Power, meaning it was able to combine Z Nature Power with Misty Terrain Tapu Fini to launch a Twinkle Tackle at unsuspecting opponents before they could even move, regardless of speed tiers. In the finals of the 2017 World Championships, Sam Pandelis made an absolutely insane play. Predicting that the opposing Whimsicott would want to go for a KO against his Garchomp, he realized what Ryota Atsubo would need to do to accomplish that. He not only predicted that Ryota would switch out his Marowak for Tapu Fini to set the terrain, but that he would fire a Nature Power into the Garchomp slot. To prevent this, he swapped out his Garchomp for Mandibuzz, a Dark-type, who would normally not be a great switch into Fairy-type attacks, but in this particular instance, it was the correct call. Because not only did Ryota use Misty Terrain Nature Power against Mandibuzz, but he would opt to even burn his Z-move. Because Mandibuzz is a Dark-type and Z Nature Power is technically a Prankster move, Sam Pandelis was able to negate all damage on that turn and waste one of his opponent's most important resources by making him fire it off into a Pokemon which was completely immune. It's not often that you get to see a fairy type attack just not affect a dark type at all, so this left viewers who didn't understand this interaction scratching their heads, but hyped nonetheless. In VGC 2019, GS Cup rules returned, allowing for each player to have up to two restricted legendary Pokemon on their teams. Among some of the strongest Pokemon early in this format was Lunala, a Pokemon with an impressive special attack stat, bulk, as well as an ability which halves all damage taken when it's at full health. One of the few Pokemon who were capable of one-shotting Lunala was Lunala with a Spooky Plate. Going into Memphis Regionals 2019, Ashton Cox and Jeremy Rodriguez ran identical teams which they had built together. This team consisted of Smeargle, Xerneas, Incineroar, Lunala, Toxicroak, and Crobat, with the whole idea of this team being that Xerneas would set up Geomancy with a Power Herb and partner Lunala would be able to psych up to copy the boosts and they would sweep side by side. It would seem that one of these players would build both of their teams and provide the team for the other, because both teams had identical errors. Jeremy and Ashton were by far two of the best players in the venue that day, since they not only ran identical teams, but they both managed to make it into finals where they would have to play the mirror match to determine who was the champion. Since the Lunalas were identical, this meant that when facing off, they would have to win a speed tie to move first and see who would end up getting the one shot. The only thing is, when Jeremy won the speed tie in Game 3, something wasn't right. While it is a damage roll to KO the Lunala in one hit, the move did significantly less damage than expected, leaving Ashton's Lunala alive and well to attempt to one-shot Jeremy's Lunala. But once again, it did far less damage than expected. Eventually, Ashton would go on to win the set and become the regional champion, but upon inspecting their teams after the set, Jeremy and Ashton realized something. Both of their Lunalas were timid 252 speed, 252 attack, not special attack, meaning that not only was their team and gameplay so solid throughout the whole day that they ended up playing against each other in finals, but they did so with a Lunala that had absolutely no special attack investment whatsoever. How this error happened is anyone's guess, but it just goes to show how skilled both of these players are. Aaron Zhang is one of the most famous VGC players in the history of the game, but did you know he also has the power to buff moves at will? Because he does. In Top 5 of the 2013 World Championships, Aaron Zhang unlocked this ability. While facing off against Ryosuke Kasuge, Aaron had a strategy in mind to cut the damage coming out from Ryosuke's powerful physical attackers. He would use his Rotom to burn the opposing Landorus with Will-O-Wisp, decreasing its damage output and causing residual damage to it throughout the game. Unfortunately, Aaron would go on to miss the Will-O-Wisp on turn 1, which was honestly just a sign of things to come. The next turn, Aaron predicts Landorus to protect, so he attempts a Will-O-Wisp on the Cresselia, who also avoids the attack. Despite this, Aaron would end up taking Game 1 in the best of 3 set. In Game 2, however, he would attempt a similar play, trading getting paralyzed on Rotom for another attempt at burning the Landorus, who would swap into Iron Fist Conkeldurr, who Aaron once again would miss the Will-O-Wisp against. The next turn, Cresselia would be paralyzed by Thunderwave, and Aaron would predict Conkeldurr to protect, so he attempted a Will-O-Wisp into the Thunderous, which he once again would miss. Aaron would go on to have one of the most unlucky sets in Pokemon ever, missing more Will-O-Wisps than I could count, getting fully paralyzed at the worst times, and generally just not having a great time. He would go on to lose the set and be eliminated from the World Championships just 2 games away from victory. Following this generation, Will-O-Wisp would be buffed from 75 accuracy to 85, and Thunder Wave would be nerfed twice, once in Generation 6 and again in Generation 7, where its accuracy was cut to 90. This happening on the biggest stage of Pokemon was likely one of the reasons these moves were adjusted, meaning Aaron Zhang really took one for the team here. Let's add buffing moves to the list of things that Aaron can do, and we'll add landing Will-O-Wisp to the list of things that he can, alongside driving the ball to the basket. Giovanni Costa is known for a few signature Pokemon. Among these are Dragonite and Eevee? Yeah, Eevee in Generation 7 actually had a competitive niche. Its signature Z move would cause Eevee to get +2 boosts to all of its stats, allowing for Eevee to baton pass these stat changes to a partner Pokemon. Giovanni was famous for employing this strategy more than anyone else in the scene, with him recognizing that Dragonite was an excellent baton pass target due to its great bulk and offensive stats. At the 2017 North American International Championships, Giovanni Costa would pilot a team that employed the strategy. With these boosts, Dragonite became a very powerful sweeper that many teams weren't prepared for. In Game 3 of Round 3 of the tournament, Giovanni would find himself in quite the predicament against his opponent Tobias. This Dragonite would find itself asleep in a 3v1 scenario against Hariyama, Nihiligo, and Smeargle. Just when Giovanni thought it was over, Dragonite was able to survive a x4 super effective Hidden Power Ice from the opposing Nihiligo at red health, and wake up on that same turn, allowing for it to use a +2 Earthquake against it and Hariyama, scoring a double knockout, leaving it in a 1v1 against Tobias' Smeargle. Tobias needed his Smeargle to score the KO with Fake Out, which was well within reason against Dragonite, given how low the Dragonite was on health. It would go on to survive the Fake Out on just 4 HP, allowing for him to steal the win from the jaws of defeat. This just goes to show that in competitive Pokemon, if there's a way to win, the best players will do their best to find it. But those were just some of the most iconic moments in Pokemon. Did I miss any? Let me know in the comment section below, and be sure to let me know what you thought of the video and if you learned anything new. If you enjoyed, be sure to leave a like and subscribe. It'd mean the world to me. If you want to support me further, you can check out my Patreon page or become a YouTube channel member by clicking the join button below the video. This gets you sneak peeks at future videos, some bonus content, and access to my supporter-only Discord, where you can hang out and team build with other community members. You also see your name at the end of these videos, like all these lovely people. Special thanks to my most boosted supporters, Avatar67 and Ethan LaPointe, for their generous pledges. Another way to support me is to check out all the videos in the playlist on screen right now. I know you'll find something in there that you'll enjoy. I also have a second channel where I talk about the current VGC metagame trends, and a Twitch channel where I stream, both of which are in the description. or you can just tune in to my YouTube streams Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. CST. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye.